You're listening to the Digital Strips Podcast, the first
and best
webcomics podcast on the planet, and the only girl who's totally cool with her mom up and moving both of them who knows where for the 57th time, so long as the fabric of reality doesn't start tearing itself open like wrapping paper on Christmas morning. I am your host, and I'm seriously just trying to paint my miniatures in peace, so leave my door closed and get that backpack off of that ferret for crying out loud. I am Jason the Midnight Cartooner Sigler. With me as always, he is certain he saw the ceiling start to peel away like someone opening a container of yogurt. But if he doesn't beat this boss in God of War before work, he's absolutely going to put his fist through a wall. He is Steve the Geek Shinny.
I like how you made me the one who could lift a person and not you. Because I got muscles.
I mean, one of us had to be the gamer, and so why not make him the game, the giant, massive gamer? And we'll get to the characters and discuss them, but I am Ethan, so that there was no question about who I had to be in this one. I couldn't just be, oh, I get to be the funny dog made out of a camera and socks, because that would be silly. It's like, no, I'm Ethan. You are Ethan. Get over it.
So do you paint miniatures? Do you have a set back somewhere that I haven't heard about?
I definitely do not. I know somebody who does, and it sounds like the most boring thing in the world, but also I get it. It sounds like, you know, doing like bonsai trees, except for, you know, you're actually doing something like you can use later on, or somebody else can use later on, and hopefully you get better at it as time goes on. But no, I've never done it myself. I respect those people that do it. I'm not saying it's a waste of time. It's actually a very cool way to spend your time. I can't ever see myself doing that to the point where, yeah, it would drive me insane, I think.
Yeah, every time I see someone who's really into miniatures and is really good at it, I think, wow, there but for the grace of God go I, because that is a hole I have wanted to dive down for so long. I know I would get super into it, and I do not have the time, money, nor space to dedicate to it, so I have to just make fun of those people so that I don't become one of those people.
There you go. That's what we do around here. Make fun of you because we want to be you so badly.
The only way I can overcome my jealousy, nerd!
We're going to get to talking about some nerdy stuff. We're going to talk about a webcomic, I promise, but we have a couple of news items to get through real quick. The comic Fairmeadow, which is a comic we looked at halfway through this year, I think, this past year. It's about a soldier coming to stay with a commune and kind of the tense situation that it creates. It's a very good comic. That comic is now home at Hiveworks. And Hiveworks, I assume because it joined the collective, also has a new website design. So I checked it out. It's nice. It's nice and kind of open, which the comic would make you feel like, you know, that would be perfect for it. So I think the design works well with the comic, and it's one I've been meaning to get back into since we reviewed it. So maybe this is a good reason, but I know Hiveworks has so many great comics under its banner. I don't even know how webcomic collectives work in 2022, if that's, you know, like, I imagine you can probably post your comic anywhere else if they wanted to, which I think that was Fairmeadow. I think it was on Webtoons and Tapas, so I'm sure it'll continue to update there as well. But congratulations to that comic. I think it was awesome and great news as far as joining another group of awesome creators.
Yeah, Hiveworks is seems to be one of the more reliable ones to go to and flip through and know you're going to catch something you like. So good place for it.
Yeah, I think Hiveworks and Spider Forest are my two favorites, and honestly the only two I really know of at this point, but I'm sure there are others still existing or have popped up since the heyday of webcomics.
For sure.
And you'll remember the comic Nimona, which was actually optioned for a film, and creator Nathan Stevenson I did option it, and I think was working on the film at Disney's Blue Sky Studios when that studio was unfortunately closed. And so the film was in limbo, canceled, who knew what, but that film has now luckily been rescued by the newly formed Annapurna Animation, which is a new animation arm of Annapurna Studios, I believe. They are largely a video game outlet. They have put out many video games. This year they put out Stray, was I think their big title. It was a big hit. I think it's nominated for one of the Game Awards, like for the Game of the Year, which I don't personally agree with, but we're not going to get into that. So yeah, they have a new animation studio, and they are treating Nimona, it sounds like, their flagship title, basically. Like, it is the main movie that they are pushing right now, and I think it's set to come out sometime next year. Don't know when that might be. Could get pushed back, who knows, but the fact that it's been picked up and is eventually going to be worked on again and will come out is awesome news, because I love that story. The look of the screen test they at least did for the animation looks really cool. It looks like it would fit well with the art style of the original comic, I think. So I'm very excited about that. I'm very excited that it gets to see the light of day. And yeah, just good news all around there.
Yeah, I'm excited to see it. So super cool.
Super cool. You know what's not super cool? If you could fall into another world without even knowing it and not have any way to get back.
Correct.
That's what happens in the comic we're talking about today. The comic is Immaterial. It's brought to us by...
That would be super cool.
That would not be super cool. Wrong. How dare you interrupt me? And how dare you interrupt me with your own thoughts on things being super cool when it would not be. It's objectively not cool.
Let us know in the comments. All right, who's this comic by?
It is Immaterial and is brought to us by Sarah Ellerton. No, it is important. I have a feeling there's a lag in our sound today, and it's going to cause problems like this. He's trying to interrupt me, and he's just being a goober.
I'll be Immaterial
is the story of Alex. Alex is, when the story begins, she's a young girl who has a mother that just cannot stay away from drama, and it follows her everywhere. And unfortunately, that leads her to up and move her and Alex constantly. Like, it sounds like they just are moving from house to house, from area to area, from relative to relative, who will put them up. And the mom, it sounds like, just cannot hold down a job. Like I said, the drama just follows her wherever she goes. And so Alex, unfortunately, is dragged along for every one of these moves and changes. And it basically makes her into the character that she is when we finally settle her. And she's a young woman, and she's, you know, finally living on her own, because she says, you know, that the relatives were, well, and her relative she goes to stay with, the cousin, Claire, she says, you know, we were done with your mom, finally. Like, we can't do it. And she's like, yeah, I get it. Trust me. That's why I'm living here now. So she comes to live with her cousin and a couple of roommates that she already has. And it's really, up to that point, it's a pretty just normal, like, kind of coming of age comic or story. It's like, oh, maybe I had gotten it wrong. I thought there was something fantasy about this. And then weird little ferret with a backpack on gets introduced and tears open a hole into another realm, and she ends up there, and then we're off in the kind of Alice in Wonderland-ness of the comic. But yeah, it takes a little while to get to that point, and I think, as you mentioned in your notes, that it was kind of felt like pacing was off up to that point, but now it really has kind of taken off, and I think it's pretty well paced. So what were your thoughts on Immaterial?
I quite like this comic. I had a great time with it. It was able to read all seven, well, I'll say 6 1/3 chapters, because the 7th chapter is currently being updated, fairly quickly. It really kind of flew by. It had several different twists and turns that I was a big fan of, and my point wasn't that the pacing was bad at first, it was that it hit it just as I was about to get bored, so it could have been quicker, but it certainly wasn't bad. I think there's a big distinction there, but it does spend a lot of time on who Alex is and why she is the way she is, and it all makes sense. And the fact that she is so grounded through all this and like has kind of like the right attitude about it is very refreshing. a lot of comics that I think would have this person as the backstory would be a little bit more dramatic or cold, where Alex is just very normal on the front, which is what a person would be. A person would still try really hard to present themselves as normal and then have this weird little quirk buried down inside them, which is what Alex has, where she just refuses to accept objects. And that's not, she's not like going around being all Marie Kondo and chopping people's stuff in half. But if you try and give her something, she's like, oh, no, thank you, I don't need it. And that's because she doesn't want to form a bond to anything that she might have to leave behind. Anything that she can't text and reconnect with if she gets moved, she doesn't care about. She only cares about people, which is awesome. Like, that's very zen and very, like, that's a good way to look at the world, I think. I think our attraction to objects is wonderful and good, but it's kind of a coping mechanism for a lot of things, and not, and moving past that is desirable. And she has, but it makes her strangely unique for the world in which she finds herself. The fantasy world, not the real world.
Yeah, I mean, I would argue that both worlds. Like you said, it's not a, it is kind of a going against the grain, otherworldly thing to shun worldly possessions, and that her moving around with her mom is what forced her to be that way. And it is kind of a blessing in disguise, because when you know the one of the last times she has to move, and the mom's like, I know, I'm sorry, don't worry, you have until like tomorrow, we don't have to leave right now, but we'll start to pack everything up, she's like, I'm good, let's go, I'm ready right now, like, I'm not taking anything with me, I'm not dumb like that anymore, you've taught me not to worry about things like that, because you can't stay put in a place for more than 6 months. So it does, it seems to have kind of damaged her in a way, but damaged her for the better. And it also made it, it's basically her main character trait, that she is just, she's immaterial. She does not care about material things. She can't. And it also makes it interesting. So when we go into this world, this new realm, whatever, is full of junk that has come from our world. And that junk is then either repurposed or even remade into like creatures. Like there's like the one I mentioned before of the head is like an old timey camera and ears are like socks. And it's like all this junk is like making up creatures. And it's really, really striking. And it also makes for, I think, endless character design ideas. It's something like that. It's like, oh, this junk is repurposed to make this creature. Like, that's awesome. Like, how many creatures, monsters can you think of in your mind from that, just that one prompt? But
yeah, it's a great opportunity to do that, and it feeds into the lore, because it's not everything. This whole world exists. When you lose a thing, this is where it goes. If you've ever lost, where does the sock go in the dryer? Well, it goes to this alternate universe where all the emotional attachment people have to things gives it purpose, and sometimes those purposes unite and cause a thing to become a sort of living entity, like Shudder's the sock dog, and it becomes like the main protagonist. Like, have you, I know you haven't read through everything, but you've seen the big monster, right, that they have to fight?
No.
All Shadow of the Colossus? Oh, okay.
No, it's stomping around, and Alex is saying watch out for it, but no, I've not actually seen it yet.
Okay, it's very cool. And it's the way that, like, it is a really rare thing in fantasy, especially fantasy webcomics, for a world to be created around a concept and then to have that concept actually play into the plot. And this comic does that very, very well. So you've got a lot of cool stuff to read yet ahead.
Yeah, and so we also should mention that the guy that I was talking about that I was in the very beginning of the show, Ethan, he is one of the roommates and really just wants to be kept to himself. Like, he closes him up in himself in his room all the time, even though he clearly has some kind of a thing for her, even though maybe she's just a new person and he is interested in her for that reason, or maybe he actually is already crushing on her. It's hard to tell. But he's very reclusive, just wants to keep to his own stuff, do his job and do his miniatures. And yeah, that's it. And so then eventually he is sucked into this world. So he and Alex both end up there. And I don't know if it's something about his personality being reclusive or the miniatures maybe make him, you know, I feel like when you're doing that, you have to be thinking in your mind while you're painting this thing. You have to be thinking of the world this is going into. Like, you have to have that in your mind, not just to do the job, but to keep your mind occupied while you're doing this. Because, I mean, you're painting a little tiny thing. Like, you can't just necessarily concentrate on that. You have to... It's mindless in a way, I think. So I wonder if that's what sets his mind up. Because when he gets there, he's alarmed, but he also seems totally comfortable. Like, he seems like maybe he lives here. Like, he actually, this is his world or something. I don't think it's that far. But he's just, he's cool. He's cool with Shutters, the camera dog thing. And Grimnir doesn't really give him, which I don't know if we said the name. That's the name of the ferret-looking thing that begins this whole thing. He's really cool with it. Like, he seems fine, and that could just be, you know, not wanting to really hone in on that part of the character because it's too, the comic's too short, and it's like, I can't just work on this guy freaking out the entire time because then the story can't be told and he doesn't ever go find Alex and blah blah blah. So, but that was what struck me when he landed there, was just like, he's just like, huh, okay, yeah, junk. It ends up here and needs to get back because of memories. And hey, there's a dog that's made of junk. Cool. It's just, he's just totally cool with it. And that was interesting to me.
Yeah. We learn a bit more about Ethan and why he is that way and why he was so accepting of it at first and stuff. So everything is explained, which is another great hallmark of a good comic.
Okay. So yeah, as we've mentioned, I've read a little bit less than you, but I've definitely read enough for the hook to happen. Like, if you read only, I think it's maybe in chapter 3 where the whole, like, going into another world thing happens. It might be late in chapter 2, but I think it's like chapter 3. So you can read a lot of this comic before you get to any of the fantasy stuff, and it's still a well-told comic. I enjoy the story of this girl, you know, who shuns everything because everything material because she just can't. She doesn't want to lose it all the time. And then goes to live with other people and basically then has to live the rest of her life with that mindset. And like, where would it go from there? And I think that's kind of interesting enough on its own. And then we go into this other world stuff, and that's where it really kicks off. And I think it's also where the pacing really steps up and just moves. And before you know it, you read like the next two chapters and it's like, oh, wow, I'm in chapter 5. Okay. Yeah. So...
Also, the chapter breaks really... are very subtle, so that it flows very... You don't realize how far you've gotten into it. It's like a... I don't know. It's like one of those books that doesn't have chapters. It just has little spaces between two paragraphs that, like, this is a scene break. And those are always so much more engrossing than big block. You're done. Stop reading and do the next thing in your life.
Yeah. Well, I mean, with comics like this, a lot of times somebody will do a big... With a new chapter, you do a big title page. It's like, oh man, the new splash page is out. So that means, you know, the comic is coming in a few weeks once I get it done and the buffer's built back up. And like I said, this one does not do that. It just goes into the next chapter and you can look down at the bottom and see where you're at in the comic at the time. And it says like chapter 5. So you know you've changed chapters. There is a little title at the top too. But yeah, it's very, very subtle about it. It does not call it out, which I think works in the comic's favor. If you're really going to jump like a massive, like, oh, we're going to a new character, a new timeline, blah, blah, blah. That's when you do like a big stop. This is where, this is book one, the end. Now we move to book two. But yeah, I kind of appreciate the way it just nods to it and is like, okay, now we're moving. So I think it is helped. The pacing is helped by that. And I found myself incredibly engrossed by this comic and the characters I really cared about, and the world is just begging to be explored more. And like you said, the lore kind of just unfolds naturally, and it's just cool. It's a really cool world that Sarah has built here, and I hope more people read it because I think it's really, really cool. It's part of the Spider Forest collective. You know, we were talking about collectives earlier, and I said that's one of my favorites. It is part of Spider Forest, so... You can also find it on Webtoon and, of course, become a patron, get stuff early. But, yeah, it is, I imagine, getting plenty of eyes that way. And Sarah is also no stranger to webcomics. This is her fifth one, I think. There's a whole bunch listed there. And I don't think they have anything to do with each other. I think they're separate stories. Like, they're not even like an anthology. I think it's just, oh, this is my next comic. This is what I'm doing. So, been doing this for a while. So, she knows what she's doing, and I think this comic shows it. So, but if you haven't heard of it and you haven't read any of this yet, definitely go check it out. It's, I think, a really well-told story. Really well-drawn, too. I guess I didn't mention that, the art style is kind of painterly. Digital paints, I think, is what it's done with, but it's a very striking look to it, and very good. Like all the things made of junk that come up later, absolutely you can tell what they are. Like, there's no guessing. It's drawn very well in that way, and yeah, I didn't bother mentioning that just because it's so good and so. I won't say effortless because obviously there's effort put into it, but it looks effortless. Like, it looks just like this just goes onto the page. I think that's probably a testament to how long Sarah's been doing this. And just honed her craft. It's very good.
Absolutely. The art is so evocative. It drew me right in. Had a great time with the art. And it's very consistent, which is hard to do with such... fantasyful landscapes where, you know, you've got bus stations being pulled into all these different, like, weird fantasy deserts and stuff. So it's gorgeous.
Yeah. So I really can't say too much more about it. I don't want to say too much more. I haven't really had anything spoiled for me, even though you've, you know, said some things that happened. I knew they were coming. So it's good to know that they have happened in the near future. And I want everybody to experience this for themselves. I think it's a well-told story, amazing world that is created in the other realm. Are we actually given a name? I know they say at one point the town is like Forgotown, but are they given any other names like the realm or the world or anything?
I think so, but I don't remember what it is.
Okay. That's fine. It doesn't necessarily matter. I imagine it gets a name at some point. Grimnir, you know, probably just lets it slip when he's talking about something else, which is kind of been how he does his, as we walk along, lore dumps, but it's effective in world building, and as they, you know, kind of experience things for themselves, he can explain more about what's going on around them. So yeah, just a great work top to bottom, and relatively young. It does read really quickly, especially after a certain point, so I think this is a pretty quick read up to the point we're at right now, and you definitely should get in on this. I imagine it looks like some of Sarah's comics have gone longer than others. Some have been fairly short, so I don't know how long this story is intended to be. It seems pretty epic, so it could be, but also I imagine she probably has an end point in mind, and who knows when that'll be, but It's a work that I can trust is going to be finished. So don't worry about that. I don't think that's going to be the case. Life comes up and things happen, so you can't necessarily promise, but given her past, that does seem like, yeah.
Most likely.
Yes. So, final thoughts.
Just... nothing but praise. Tons of fun. Thanks for bringing this to my attention. Definitely going to look at the other comics up there that you mentioned. I think I've heard of Iverlock. I think that was one, like, I think that goes way back. So yeah. I'm not. Like
2014 is what I saw.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, it's old school, which isn't really that old school, but still old school. But you know what I mean. So, but if this is the level of quality that we have to look for, I'm definitely going to enjoy digging through all those. And even if it's not, if this is the end result of so many years working on a project or series of projects, working on a medium such as webcomics, then, you know, that's a huge testament to your perseverance and respect.
Absolutely. Respect to this comic. Go check out Immaterial on Spider Forest. You'll be glad you did. And that will do it for this episode of Digital Strips. If you have any comments about anything we talked about in this episode, or suggestions for future episodes, you can find us on Twitter for now. The show is at Digital Strips. I personally am at TheJasonSigler.
And I, Ferretly, am at Idahubbo.
Or if you prefer, you can head on over to our website, that is digitalstrips.com. You can leave us a comment there in the show notes. You can also reach us by email. That email address is digitalstrips@gmail.com. We give special thanks to Chime and Adam Tell for our music, which is from their song Hole, W-H-O-L-E. You can find Hole along with many other great copyright-free songs on YouTube, SoundCloud, and Spotify. If you like this show, I have great news. We do another one. It's a show featuring two guys who have never met in real life, giving each other plenty of reasons to stick to that decision. And that show is called Then You Ruined It. You can find Then You Ruined It along with Digital Strips on pretty much any podcast platform you use. If those platforms allows for reviews, we really appreciate the 5-star ones. That would be a great Christmas present to put in my stocking.
Yeah!
Or if you celebrate that way, you can have it as one of your 8 crazy nights of Hanukkah.
Also cool.
I say crazy nights because the only thing I have tied to Hanukkah is Adam Sandler.
Yeah. Probably not the best reference, but not the worst.
I mean, it's accurate-ish. It's the actual holiday. We'll count it. Either way, please give us those gifts of 5-star reviews. But until next time, for Digital Strips, I am Jason the Midnight Cartooner Sigler.
I hope to always be Steve the Geek Shinny.
Thank you very much for joining us, and we'll see you in the fourth panel. Where that thing I misplaced is... Where'd I put it? It's probably a hedgehog or something in another world.
I say, go look in the fantasy realm behind the dryer.
So you say behind the dryer, and I just think Lego Movie, and I think the dryar system, which gets me on a totally different world that I would want to be a part of. But yes, this is not a review podcast for that movie. It could be.
We could do one. You want to do one? Could. Steve and Jason watch movies that came out 10 years ago.
No, let's do what the McElroys do with Paul Blart 2 and just make it that's the only movie we review. We review it every Christmas.
I would love to do a movie at a minute from a movie per episode podcast. Those are fascinating.
They are fascinating. You also have to... I don't think we have the tenacity, the temerity, and the patience and the eye for detail to do a comic podcast like that.
We definitely have the tenacity. We're still doing this podcast.
That just makes us tenacious.
It's like, yeah.
You can't pull me away from this microphone. I'll never leave.
It's in my teeth.